What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Pete Callinor here. Thanks a lot for hanging out. I appreciate it. 704-570-1110. And 1-800-WBT-1110. The email is Pete at thepetecallinershow.com and on Twitter at Pete Callinor. All right, so on Capitol Hill, we have the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. It is proceeding as I speak. And you listen. Lev Parnas, who was Rudy Giuliani's Ukrainian-born American citizen guy who was charged with going all over the world to try to dig up the dirt on Biden and the Ukraine corruption, who then broke ranks, was convicted, and campaign finance stuff, whatever. And now he's the Democrats' witness today, and he is to be believed because he left, quote, the cult, okay? He left the Orange Man cult, and so you can believe him, and his conviction is relevant. One of the other witnesses, no, Hunter Biden's not there. Nah, he didn't show up for this one. Even though he totally said he wanted to go to the public appearances, he didn't come to this public appearance, but whatever, doesn't matter. One of the other witnesses is a fellow by the name of Tony Bobulinski, military veteran. His family, like every single male in his family, have all served in the military, willing to lay down their lives for the United States. And he was a former business partner of Hunter Biden, talks about how he met with Joe Biden. He was intimately involved in the business deals. And as far as I know, no criminal record there. And then they have another witness the Republicans have called. This is a fella named Jason Galanis. Jason Galanis is also a former partner of Hunter Biden. And Galanis testified via video uplink from prison, because he has been convicted for scamming and stealing and embezzling millions of dollars from pension funds and retirement accounts and all this stuff. A Hunter Biden former business partner in prison. I'm going to start with his opening statement, because Jamie Raskin, the ranking Democrat on the committee, he started, you know, dismissing and denigrating the different, like he went after Tony Bobulinski, called him a liar and all of this. He went after Galanis, called him a convict. And then the Massachusetts congressman is like, oh, he's a convict. This is your star witness, a convict. Like, again, this was Hunter Biden's business partner. I'm not sure if this is the slam dunk that you think it is, right? Like, Hunter Biden's former business partner is in prison right now, and you don't believe we can trust what he says because he's in prison. Okay. I mean, that is, I guess that's what you got to do if you're the defense attorney in this case. So here is the opening statement, though, from Jason Galanis.
Our business included the acquisition of 85-year-old Wall Street firm Burnham & Company, the $1.5 billion surviving division of Drexel Burnham Lambert. Our objective was to build a diversified private equity platform, which would be anchored by globally known Wall Street brand together with a globally known political name, Biden.
A brand, if you will.
Our goal, that is Hunter Biden, Devin Archer, and me, was to make billions, not millions. The entire value add of Hunter Biden to our business was his family name and his access to his father, Vice President Joe Biden.
You hear that? The entire value add of Hunter Biden was access to his father and the name. That was it. It wasn't because he was some super smart financial guy, right? It's not because he knew how to set up a private equity firm or anything. No, that's the value add. These guys were the ones that had the financial background. These were the ones that, you know, could do all of the fancy stuff with the numbers and then get, you know, convicted for embezzlement. Like, they were that side of the operation. Hunter, he's the name. He's the brand. They had to leverage both in order to get people with deep pockets from all over the world to buy into the business idea.
In 2014, we believed that the Burnham Enterprise would be significantly enhanced by forming a partnership with Harvest Fund Management, a $300 billion Chinese financial service company closely connected to the Chinese Communist Party. This effort was led by Hunter Biden's contact with Henry Zhao, the Harvest chairman. Mr. Zhao was interested in this partnership because of the game-changing value add of the Biden family, including Joe Biden, who was to be a member of the Burnham Harvest team post-vice presidency.
Oh! Interesting.
The Biden committee drafted an email dated August 23rd, 2014, drafted for Hunter Biden that reflects this understanding. It states, and I quote, Michael, please also remind Henry Zhao of our conversation about a board seat for a certain relation of mine. Devin and I golfed with that relation earlier this week, and we discussed this very idea. And as always, he remains very, very keen on the opportunity, end quote.
Do you hear what he said there? I know it's difficult. He's in a, you know, he's in a prison room on a video uplink. So I get it's echoey and the quality is not super fantastic here. But what is he saying? That a certain family relation, right? Should we call him the big guy? Right? Is very keen on this opportunity, which is going to be what? A seat on the board after the expiration of his vice presidency. That's what we're talking about. That's the pull of the Biden brand. That's the value add. And he knows that it's Joe Biden because he talked with Devin Archer and Hunter Biden, his other business partners in this deal. He talked with them about the phone call after it was originally stated. After the call was made and they had that conversation, Jason Galanis, business partner, he is then told about, yeah, they had this phone call and they're like super excited to move forward and they're going to have, you know, this position for the family relation afterwards.
I'm certain that this phrase, a certain relation of mine, refers to Vice President Biden. Devin told me about this golf course conversation shortly after it happened. Ultimately, this paragraph was deleted from the final version, with Hunter following our general rule of thumb on business deals. Say it, forget it, write it, regret it.
You hear that? Say it, forget it, write it, regret it. That is their general rule of thumb. I don't know if there's, I'm not sure where it states in, as I say it, forget it, write it, regret it. Not sure, like put it on a laptop and leave it someplace. I don't see that in the rule of thumb. So, yeah. But again, remember, none of this would be known. This stuff would not be known. The tracking of the money, the text messages and such, none of this would be known but for Hunter Biden leaving the laptop at the shop in Delaware and then never picking it back up. We would never know all of this stuff. So he has the conversation, Jason Galanis does. He is informed of the golf course conversation that occurred about moving forward, so he knows it happened. That's called contemporaneous corroboration, where you've told somebody at the time of the thing that occurred, you've told other people at that time. So years later, when you're like, oh, this thing happened, like, oh, yeah, he totally, like, attacked me at that beer party in high school, 30 years before he became a Supreme Court nominee. Like, if you told somebody at the time, then that would be proof that's a piece of evidence that it did, in fact, happen. Dr. Ford, we'll get to her as well in the program, I promise. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Trending on Twitter right now is Where's Hunter? Because they set up a chair with a little placard with his name on it at the impeachment hearing, and he is not there. So I'm guessing contempt of Congress, maybe head on down to wherever he's staying, kick in the doors, drag him off, right? But with the Peter Navarro standard now, wasn't he a rock band singer at some point? Right? Navarro? Anyway, back to the hearing. This is Jason Galanis in prison right now, former business partner of Hunter Biden, talking about how Joe Biden was promised a seat on the board of a financial company that they were creating with the Harvest Fund, which was a $30 billion company out of China, links to the Communist Party, and they were trying to leverage the star power of the Biden name and the financial background of Devin Archer and Jason Galanis, along with Tony Bobulinski, who was also at this hearing. So here is more from Jason Galanis. And again, the quality on this, not awesome, because he is in prison via video uplink here.
Further to that, I recall being with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer at the Peninsula Bar in New York, where Hunter took a call from his father and told him things were going well with Henry's Allen Harvest and that he might need a little help getting across the finish line. It was not the only time I heard Hunter speak with his father for business reasons. I was present when Hunter called his father on May 4th, 2014 on a cell phone, put it on speaker mode to have him say hello to Yelena Batarina, a Russian oligarch and an investor in Rosemont Projects, and her husband, Yuri Luskov, the former mayor of Moscow. Devin Archer was also there. Hunter said, well, I'm here with our friends. I told you we're coming to town, and we wanted to say hello. The vice president said hello, some pleasantries, and then hope you had safe travels. And then said, quote, okay, you be good to my boy. Hunter responded by saying, everything is good, and we are moving ahead. The vice president said something about, quote, being helpful, and Hunter ended the call by saying he was going to call his father later. Before this call, Hunter sat next to Yelena Batarina at a table, and I heard him speaking on business matters generally. A few days after this May 4th party, an email my lawyer provided to this committee shows that Devin had confirmed Ms. Batarina was committed to a, quote, hard order of $10 to $20 million in a burden investment banking client. In an effort to build this financial platform, I engaged in unlawful conduct. Our companies were entrusted with $11 billion of union pension money, pension fund money, whose trust I betrayed. I pleaded guilty. I've had 8 years in federal custody to reflect on my actions. I'm profoundly sorry for committing these crimes. I deserve the lengthy sentence I received. Nevertheless, as I set out more fully in my full statement, I believe the SBNY prosecutors did not indict Hunter Biden on the same deal for political reasons, despite then available documentation that we were partners, were involved in decision-making that involved illegal self-dealing, and all of us had financially benefited from these schemes.
So, what does it sound like to you? It sounds like he was the fall guy. He took the rap. He took all of it, right? 8 years for the embezzlement of the funds. He says, I totally deserved the sentence I got. I engaged in all of this, but also I'd point out, nobody else did. Yet we were all involved in this. Not to mention he's talking there about the deal that they were working out with the former mayor of Moscow and his wife. That guy eventually died, and the wife is like one of the most wealthiest women in Russia. And what did he say occurred on that phone call? Biden says to the Russians, be good to my boy. And Hunter responds, everything is moving ahead. We're all good. That's what he says to his dad. Again, say it, forget it, write it, regret it. Don't put it in writing. Just say it. You don't ever actually say the things explicitly, because that's how they get you. That's how you end up like Jason Galanis.
All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Email is Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. We're dropping in on some of the audio testimony that occurred. Oh, now that's a good idea. Okay, so this is a good idea. So Hunter Biden did not show up at the hearing that started at 10 a.m. He did not show up. And so people are wondering, like, well, that's so weird because he said he wanted to do the open session. Remember that this was his original demand. Remember? I mean, you got to go way back. I'm old enough to remember this, so maybe I'm dating myself. But he said he wasn't going to go into closed session, remember? And then he shows up in front of the Capitol when he's scheduled to be in the closed session deposition. So he blows that off. He does a press conference out front on the steps. He says, I demand an open session hearing. And the committee says, no, we're doing it this way. We do it in a closed deposition. Then we do an open hearing. They refuse. He then shows up at some other hearing that's open. He shows up at that one where he's not scheduled to be a witness. And they do this sort of stunt where he and his two lawyers sit in the front row and they're like, I'm here. I'm totally here. And the Democrats like, he's here. We could talk to him right now. And they're like, no, you have to sit for the closed deposition. So then they get up and leave, just as Marjorie Taylor Greene is whipping out the still shots taken from his laptop, you know, where he's, you know, naked or virtually naked. He took the selfies, but whatever. So they storm out. They then say they're not going to sit for the deposition, but then they eventually do have him sit for the closed session deposition. And now they have the open session hearing. And now what's he say? No, I'm not going to be there. We're not showing up for this, which I guess now you got to hold him in contempt of Congress. Oh, and by the way, if what Tony Bobulinski, one of the witnesses there today, the only one of the three that has not been convicted of a crime, Bobulinski, what he says is that Jim Biden, Joe's brother, and Hunter Biden, the president's son, they both perjured themselves in their testimony to the congressional committee. They've lied. And so one of the Republicans on the committee says, hey, there should be criminal referrals. Indeed, there should. Right? This is like, I'm sorry if people on the left are, you know, lamenting the loss of standards and gentlemen's agreements and all that stuff. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, you guys, this is like, you set the ball in motion on all of this. Now, in order to get Hunter to attend, I've just been alerted there's a proposal out there. Just pile a bunch of maybe crack cocaine on the table and offer it up for free. And then that might, I kid. It's the too soon. Okay, that's fine. So, all right, let me go back to this. Go back to the opening statement that came from Jason Galanis. He is the former business partner of Hunter Biden. He is in federal prison for embezzlement, for scamming a whole bunch of people out of their pension money and all this as part of the business that he was doing with Devin Archer and Hunter Biden. This was his line of work. This is what they were engaged in. Anyway, but he's the only one that went down for it. He points this out that he is serving these 8 years. He says, I deserve it. I'm guilty. I regret doing all of this. But I'm the only one that took any of these charges, even though this was our business.
In fact, Hunter Biden and Devin Archer's company, Rosemont Seneca Bohai, received $15 million from the tribal bonds fraudulent scheme to be invested in the Burnham Group.
So what's that mean? It means that the company that Hunter Biden and Devin Archer were setting up with Bobulinski and the Chinese, that group, So that Joe Biden was going to then be a member of the board on after he got done with his vice presidency. That money that was used to seed that firm came from the embezzlement that he was convicted of. But nobody else had any charges.
I've offered to supply this information to the government about Hunter Biden's crimes, but the prosecutors have been uninterested. And my request for commutation I filed in DOJ in December 2020 did provide information about Hunter's culpability. The DOJ has retaliated against me and vigorously objected to my being placed in home confinement pursuant to the CARES Act.
All right. Hang on a second. So he tells the DOJ this in a request for a commutation of his sentence. He says prosecutors are not interested in any of the information he has provided. And he says they sought revenge. Right. They reacted by not allowing him to do his time on home confinement during the pandemic, when everybody was being sent home because everybody was dying right in the prisons. So they were trying to send all these people home. And here's a nonviolent offender, white collar criminal kind of guy connected to the Bidens. And the DOJ is like, no, you don't get to go home.
Confinement on February 4th, 2023. It was approved on June 9th. On June 12th, this committee issued a subpoena for Devin Archer, and the BOP reversed my approval on June 13th.
So when he gets subpoenaed, he had already got the approval to go onto home confinement, and then the Bureau of Prisons reverses it after he gets his subpoena.
With the SDNY prosecutors strongly objecting to my release.
Southern District of New York objected to his release. The prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, U.S. Attorney. And then, because he has to stay in prison, he believes he is targeted for violent retribution. I'll tell you what happened next. It's pretty bad. Okay, so I kind of thought I would be able to get to more audio from this from the impeachment hearing that occurred today, but we're just going to hear from Jason Galanis. This is the last bit of his opening remarks. Sorry, I don't make the clocks, but he had I only think he had like 6 minutes or so. So I mean, it really is a testament to my ability to just, you know, fill the time with words, you know. Let me play the last bit of his opening statement, because he has now laid out he's a former business partner of Hunter Biden. Jason Galanis has now laid out for the hearing, for the congressional committee, rather, at this hearing, how, you know, he accepts responsibility for his illegal activities. He did that while he was a partner of Biden's and Devin Archer. He's the only one that has been charged with anything and convicted for all of this stuff. He's serving an 8-year prison sentence. And when he offered prosecutors information against Hunter Biden, they then blocked his attempt to get out of prison and go on to home confinement. They blocked his attempt to do that, even though it was COVID under the CARES Act, and they were trying to release people out of custody because of COVID. So he was forced to stay in the prison, and then we'll pick it up from here.
I've been appealing this reversal, and with each stage, the BOP reason for my denial has changed. During this period, the period beginning in January 2023, I was sexually assaulted by a member of the prison staff at FPC Pensacola. He persisted in sexually harassing me for many months thereafter. I had hoped to receive home confinement, which would remove me from danger. My judgment was clouded by the shame I felt for not being able to prevent the attacks. I was well aware, as inmates, all inmates are, that the Bureau of Prisons had a horrible record on these matters. I believe my disclosure would have made things worse for me. Unfortunately, the sexual harassment continued until early August, when the prison correctional officer's comments became more threatening. I fear for my safety. I decided to seek counseling from Chaplain Dixon the next day on August 10, 2023. The chaplain was visibly upset by the events and asked to bring in Warden Salisbury, who quickly opened a PREA investigation, which is a reference to the Prison Rape Elimination Act passed by Congress. After further debriefings, I was immediately escorted to a vehicle and driven by senior staff hours to FPC Montgomery, a separate facility.
He tells the chaplain, finally, after he is apparently raped by a prison staffer. After he comes forward and says, I have information on the Bidens, a prison staffer assaults him, then proceeds to harass him for months. And then it gets worse and worse. He now believes he's in danger. Like, I guess he's going to get killed or something. So he tells the chaplain. The chaplain immediately escalates the issue up to the warden, who then immediately escort him into a van and send him to a different prison. That's how threatened they thought he was.
I'm grateful the committee has opened up an investigation of these matters, and I appreciate Chairman Jordan and Comer and Subcommittee Chairman Biggs signing the letter. I believe I've been a victim of a pattern of retribution by the Department of Justice. I believe I'm putting myself at grave risk within the BOP for providing information on these matters concerning the president and his son. I've been treated professionally at Montgomery. I want to thank Case Manager Coordinator Anthony Barnes and Warden Randy Keyes for their help in facilitating access to my attorney prior to this interview.
All right, and that's it. That's the conclusion of his statement. He believes that he is suffering retribution, a pattern of retribution from the BOP, which is the Bureau of Prisons, based on his willingness to provide information to this committee. So he has now turned to this committee in order to get protection because of what he's saying. Again, this is just his perception. I do not know if any of this is linked. It's one of the things, though, that a lot of people in this on this issue and in prior issues as well, which is like, and I made the joke about the big check, right? That unless there is some large check that is made out to Joe Biden, signed by, you know, the president of Russia or China, and on the memo line it says for quid pro quo or corruption or influence peddling, right? Unless you have some big check and probably a picture of them exchanging it or something, short of that, well, there's no evidence. There is evidence. And just because there are people with political interests involved that say there's no evidence, keep saying there's no evidence, does not mean there is no evidence. This, what this man has just testified to under oath, is evidence. His personal knowledge is evidence. Now, it's up to us as the jurors in this case, right? It's up to us to weigh it. Do we find this to be believable or not? What does this guy have to lose at this point? All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.